Today, yes, should do something about, should discuss left and right vibrations in the note that you have. I think it is section number 8, left and right vibrations. I keep reorganizing these notes. I will give you a new version, but in the one you have, it's section number 8, left and right vibrations. Okay. So the idea is to introduce a notion of pre-sheaf, or the analog of a pre-sheaf over a simply set. Maybe instead of pre-sheaf, they could be called pre-stacks. These fabrication can be defined in various ways. And there are two kinds, because a pre-sheaf is a contravariant functor, a set valued functor. But there is also covariant set valued functor. The contravariant set valued functor are giving rise to discrete fabrication, and the covariant set valued functors are giving rise to discrete up fabrication, right? So there are two kinds of fibrations, two important kinds of fibrations. They are very closely related, and here we are going to call them left and right fibrations. The right fibrations correspond to pre-sheaves, and I will explain the terminology why I decided to call them right fibration rather than left. So what is a right fibration? Let's say P in S is called a right fibration if it has the right lifting property with respect to the inclusion. Which I call HKN, the Horn inclusion, for k greater than 0 and smaller or equal to f. Okay, now there's a dual notion of left fibration. And be careful. The right vibration does not refer to having the right lifting property, right? The left vibrations have the right lifting property too. Okay, so the only difference is that K now will be like this. So an example of a right vibration, suppose that B is the category. And you take let's say F, a pre-sheaf. Then the pre-sheaf has a category of elements. So let us put X equal to B over F, the category of elements of the pre-sheaf F. And there is a canonical map from the category of elements of F to B is the right vibration. So that's an example. In fact, this kind of vibration can be characterized as having the unique lifting property. In other words, a map from X to B is a discrete vibration if and only if we have H, K, N equivalent, let's call it P, strictly left orthogonal to P for every K like this. So discrete vibrations are special cases of right vibrations. Actually, this is in the case where B is a category, but I have introduced in before the notions of right covering, and this is also a characterization of what I had called a right covering over a simplicity set B. When B is a general simplicity set, this describes what we may call a right covering, or maybe we may call them discrete vibration also, but it's a little bit ambiguous. So I prefer to call them a right covering. Okay, so that's the definition. But there are other characterizations of discrete vibration, or I'm sorry, of right vibration, other description. Let's say a map P is the right vibration if and only if the map I1 P from X to the I to Y to the I cross Y X is a trivial vibration. This map IP is the map that you obtain from the pullback square, from the commutative square, not the pullback square, but the commutative square. Y is B. Or B is Y. Let me make B Y. Okay. And this map here is the projection P1 defined by the inclusion I1 of 1 into the interval I. And so from this commutative square you get this map. And if this is a trivial vibration, then P is the right vibration, and conversely. If you look at this carefully, it is really a lifting property of the interval I along the projection P, or the map P. So really, right vibrations have some kind of strong lifting property of paths along the target of the path. So you have Y, X, and you have a path here, and together with a lifting of the target to X, and you can always lift, but in a very strong way, in the sense that you can do it with parameters, because the fact that this thing is a trivial vibration means that it's true not only for a path, but for also for a family of paths. You may have a family of paths indexed by some space A. So for example, if you have a map like this, from a parameter space, or simply set A, and you have a map like this, which means that you have a family of paths in Y, together with a family of lifting of the targets of these paths, then you will be able to really lift the family because actually a trivial vibration is a section. Any trivial vibration is a section, so if you have a section, certainly you will be able to lift. You just compose with a section of the trivial vibration. So this is what a right vibration is. Now, together with the right vibration comes a factorization system. So, There is a factorization system S admits a factorization system, a weak factorization system, I'm sorry, I should say, AB, in which B is the class of right vibrations. A map in A is said to be right anodyne. So that's one definition of the right anodyne maps. What is this terminology coming from? It is coming from a terminology introduced by Gabriel and Zisman. Maybe I should recall that the weak, the monic, weak homotopy equivalence are also called anodyne maps by Gabriel and Zisman in their book on calculus of fraction and homotopy theory. Yeah, they are called anodyne because the the class of anodyne maps is saturated, and generated by the horns H, K, N. For K, for all K and N, no restriction. Okay? That's the way anodyne maps are actually defined in Gabriel and Zisman. There's a notion of saturated class. I guess this is something everyone knows. Close under push out, transfinite composition, and retract, right? And that's the notions of anodyne map. And right anodyne maps are exactly generated also by the same, by the horns, but this kind of horn. Okay? So this is why it seems to be a good terminology. And there is also a class of left anodyne maps generated by these horns. Okay. Okay. So you have this factorization system, and there is also a dual factorization system of left, I should say weak factorization system, of left anodyne maps and left vibrations and left anodyne maps. Okay. Now, the notion of anodyne map is certainly not invariant under weak categorical equivalence. In other words, if you have a commutative square in which this is a weak equivalence, I should say weak categorical equivalence, and if this map is right anodyne, you cannot conclude that this map is right anodyne. For example, the class of monomorphism is certainly not invariant under weak categorical equivalence, and this map could be a mono, and this map could be something different than a mono. And so you may want to sort of close the notion of anodyne map or right anodyne map under weak categorical equivalence. And I'm going to introduce a definition we shall say that a map U is final if it admits a factorization U equal to U prime I from A to B prime to B with am I doing it right? I'm not doing it right. This, let me call that P and U prime. Right. P U prime. Right. U prime, right anodyne, and P weak categorical equivalence. Now, it turns out that we obtain a weak, an homotopy factorization system, not a weak, but a homotopy factorization system this way. So the theorem is the category S admits homotopy factorization system AB with A the class of finite maps and a map F from X to Y belongs to B if and only if it admits a factorization. F equal F prime I with I a weak categorical equivalence and F prime a right fabrication. And there is a connection, of course, between this homotopy factorization system and the previous one. It is that maybe I should give a, let me put an A prime here just because I denoted AB, the previous one. The model structure, yeah. So that's the model category. Okay, so what's the connection? Is that if you take A prime, the factorization, the homotopy factorization system is uniform, A prime B prime is uniform. And this means that if you intersect A prime with the class of cofabrication, in other words, you take a Fanon map, a monic Fanon map, and you take a B prime intersection F, then this is actually the factorization system of right anodyne map and right fabrication. So we have this property. this is, I don't know a simple proof of this. I mean, this is, this may look like, I don't know, this may look like a sort of easy thing in a sense that if you take a weak factorization system A, B, and you sort of modify a little bit to get at last A prime and B prime, you get, and no, it doesn't work like that. It's not true that any weak factorization system can be turned into an homotopy factorization system like this. So, for example, we know that the class A prime has the right cancellation property in a homotopy factorization system. So that's going to imply that the class A has a form of right cancellation property. I say a form in the sense that, let me just exhibit the cancellation property that the class A has. So A prime has the right cancellation. Property. And it implies that if you have U and V, so if U is a monomorphism, V is a mono, then you know that if the composite is right anodyne, and U right anodyne, then together this is going to imply that V is right anodyne. Well, maybe the hypothesis is you have to start with two monomorphism, and then it has you have this cancellation property. Right? It's not true that any weak factorization system has this kind of property, and this is very special. Okay, now. If B, if the class of right vibration is like that is sort of the analog of the class of discrete vibrations, it means that you can form the analog of the topos of pre-sheaf on a category. You can form the analog of that by looking at, okay, so I'm going to write R of B for the full subcategory of S over B span by the right vibrations. From with target B. So that's the right the category of right vibrations over B. Now you would like to turn R of B into the category a category of vibrant object for a model structure on S over B. Okay, and so let me describe this quickly. S over B is enriched over S. That's a classical construction. For any pair of maps, there is a simplified set of maps between any two objects. So I'm going to write XY for the simplicial set of maps from X to Y in S over B. And you can play the same game as I did with the functor tau 1 or tau 0, but using pi 0. So I'm going to consider pi 0 of xy is the Hom set of a category, the homotopy category of synthesized sets over B, which I denote S over B pi 0. Okay. And then you can define a notion, a map F from X to Y in S over B is called Faberwise Faber-wise weak homotopy equivalence if F is invertible. In S over B pi 0. So there is a notion of Faber-wise weak homotopy equivalence in the slice category S over B, and now you can define a weaker notion by testing with the right Fabrician. So a map F in S over B is called, now there's a problem of terminology here. I don't want to call them, I'm sorry, this is not a Faber-wise weak homotopy equivalence, but a Faber-wise homotopy equivalence. Sorry, it's not weak, it's really a Faber-wise homotopy equivalence. Now I would like to define a weak form of the Faber-wise weak homotopy equivalence, and the name will be we need name and contravariant equivalence, because we are in the world of contravariant object. A contravariant equivalence if the map pi 0 x y, yeah, pi 0 f, yeah, let me write F or R. From pi 0 y r to pi 0 x r is bijective for every right Fabrician. That's the same idea. We just use the same idea all the time. Okay? And now there's a model structure. The category S over B emits model structure in which a cofabrication is a monomorphism. A weak equivalence is a contravariant equivalence. And that's it. We just need to specify two of the classes. Now, a Fabrician is called a contravariant Fabrician. The fabrant objects, the category of fabrant objects is RB. A map F from X to Y in, so a map between fabrant object will be a contravariant fabrication if and only if F is a right vibration. If and only if it is a right vibration. So notation, I like to denote this model structure S over B, B and W, and I put a C here to indicate that this is a contravariant case, the contravariant equivalence over B. So that's the notation for this model structure. There is a dual model structure called the covariant model structure, S over B, W covariant B. And there is a notion of covariant equivalence, of covariant fabrication, and the fabrant, the subcategory of fabrant is L of B. L of B is the full subcategory of left fabrations over B. Okay, so I'm going to denote omega B for the homotopy category of contravariant vibrations over B. I'm not sure it's the best notation, but I'm trying to, this category is important, and I'm trying to find a simple notation for it. So omega B is a possibility. Now, a map induce a Coulomb pair. U Laurel Shriek from S over B. And S over A, I'm sorry, that's S over A, S over B, and U upper star. this is a Coulomb pair for the contravariant model structure on these categories, and also for the covariant model structure. So you have the same functors, the Cullen pairs for two model structure on these categories. And therefore, if you go to pass to the homotopy category, you get left derived functors, right? You can take the left derived functor to the homotopy category of the contravariant case to, and you have a pair of and use star and write derived functors. And this is, I denote that omega u from omega a omega b omega star u. Okay, that's the notation. Now, the game now is to replace the category of precedes on a category by omega A. Omega A is the analog of the category of precedes, right? And sort of to start to play with that. So let me observe. Observations, okay. One, suppose that A and B are categories, then and U is a functor. Then you get a pair of adjoint map between category of precedes. Okay. In fact, there is also a right adjoint. Okay, that the pullback functor has a left and a right adjoint. And for a moment, I said nothing of that here, but it is true. In other words, there is also another functor, which is not obvious here. It requires some proof. But there is also another functor, which is omega star u, moving in the same directions as omega lower shriek, and which would be right adjoint to omega upper star. So it's very much like what's happening here. There will be u upper star, which is also left adjoint to u lower star. Okay, so there is such a thing, but it is not the right derived functor of a Quillen functor. The constructions of this functor is more complicated, but it exists. And as you know, if a functor has a right adjoint, this right adjoint is completely unique. So, independently of the construction, there is always such a right adjoint here. So in other words, you can do with right vibrations the operations that you used to perform with precise direct image of any kind, etc. And other observation is that a functor, you, is fully faithful if and only if the functor, you lower shriek. This is a classical result of category theory. You know, it's few line proof, it's easy. Is fully faithful. And this is true again. In other words, we already have a notion of fully faithful map between same precise set because we have a homotopy factorization system, and this turned out to be true, that a map of same precise set is fully faithful if and only if omega lower shriek of U is fully faithful. Okay. And there is also a notion of dominant map, dominant functor. It's less common, but this is an important notion. Three functor. U is said to be dominant. I will discuss the terminology a little bit. If the functor U upper star from B up set to A up set is fully faithful. So why is it called dominant? In fact, it should be called dense, if you think about it. You see, because it's really about density. I mean, the sense that you should think of this as sort of that the image of A in by U is dense in B, because that's exactly what you expect of a dense map, being able to separate map to the reals. I'm thinking of set as sort of like maps to the reals, and so this could be called dense. But unfortunately, there is already a notion of dense functor in category theory, and it's not this one. So we have to choose another name, and I have discussed that with Bill Lovier, who is the great Pope of category theory. And he suggested dominant, and it's not bad, because the notions of dominant map exist in algebraic geometry, and it's not too far from that. So I'm going to say that the map of same precise set is dominant if the same thing, right? If omega of And there is a final notion. It's the notions of Morita equivalence. Functor is said to be a Morita equivalence if it's both full and faithful and dominant. In other words, Morita equivalence means that this pair of adjoint things is an equivalence of category. Is that there is an equivalence. Okay, so I have defined the notions of dominant map between semi set sets and also of Morita equivalence between semi set sets. And the question is, can we characterize these maps? I mean, how do you identify dominant maps and Morita equivalence? That's going to be the subject of the next course, Friday. There are simple characterizations, which are very close to the characterizations that you have for cat. There are characterizations in category theory of dominant maps and Morita equivalence, and these characterizations are going to be extended. There is also one thing. The notions of final functor is also defined. You could say that a functor is final if a functor is final if U lower shriek takes the terminal object here to the terminal object there. And therefore, there is a candidate here for defining the notion, redefining the notion of final map between semi set set. You just say that this functor take the terminal object of omega A to the terminal object of omega B, and it turns out that it's just the old notion. It's equivalent to the old notion. So everything fits. Everything is coherent. It's quite sort of surprising. All of category theory seems to have a natural extension to semi set sets, and we are trying to build on this fact. Okay, thanks.
There are at least two forms of human dilemma. Yeah, it's an important thing.